We had taken a time away from our study here for the holidays. We just got back into it last week and kind of made it through verses 1 through 6. We're going to pick up there this morning and continue on in that study tonight. So as always, I want to encourage you to be here tonight as we continue to study the scriptures together Sunday morning and Sunday night as long as we do that. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let's begin reading at verse 1 today. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but when we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, I've shared with you guys a lot about 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, his apostleship, his ministry, the gospel was under attack by false apostles and false teachers who had come in. And this letter is largely written to defend himself, his apostleship, his ministry, and his message from those false teachers. And so here in these verses today, we're going to notice this is essentially true apostleship versus false apostleship. So true versus false apostles of Christ. Now, just as a side note real quick, today there are no apostles of Christ. An apostle was one who had to be an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to be taught by the Lord personally. And so the Apostle Paul was the last of those. But we can learn from them. The Lord called them out, separated to that office of apostleship to help in the beginning stages of his church. And so we see the work that they did in that early church. And no doubt, anytime God establishes something good, Satan is going to establish a counterfeit. That's all he can do. God is the author. God is the creator. And Satan is a deceiver. He is a liar. And that's all he can do is counterfeit the good things that God establishes. And so we're going to see this. First of all, let me share with you the characteristics of a true apostle. The characteristics of a true apostle. We're going to look at several here. We're going to look at six characteristics. They really can be boiled down into three main things, but we're going to look at six. First is humility. Humility. Look at verse 1. Paul says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." This word folly has the idea of foolishness. And we covered this a little bit last week, but here's the essence of it. Paul looked at these men who were comparing themselves with themselves. They were boasting of themselves, and he said, "That's foolishness." And he said, "I don't want to do that. But I have to answer the fool according to his folly." And that took some humility to humble himself and to deal with them the way that he had to. A true apostle is always going to have humility as we look at them in the scriptures. A teacher of God's word is going to have humility. A leader in the church of God is going to have humility. They have to be abased. They have to be humbling themselves. And he was willing to do that. He was willing to do that. The second thing is jealousy. Look at verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. We took a lot of time last Sunday. If you missed it, you can go back and listen. But there's a comparison here. There's a picture here, an illustration of that Jewish wedding. And he said, I'm like the father of the bride. I have presented you. I want to present you to Christ. I am trying to keep you pure until the day that Jesus comes again to call his bride home. And so he had a jealousy, or we might say a zeal for the things of God. This word jealousy can be positive or it can be negative. Most of us, when we think of jealousy, do we think it as a good thing or a bad thing? And we usually think of jealousy as a bad thing, and it can be. You can be jealous and motivated by pride and envy and greed. But this word is also used in a positive sense, and it has the ideal of a passion or a zeal or just having a fire for something, to really care passionately about something. And he says, I'm zealous over you with a godly jealousy. I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. I want you to stay faithful to Jesus. And any true man of God is going to want the people that he is leading to stay pure for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be a godly jealousy. He's going to care about the things of God. Number three is integrity. Verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Apostle Paul had great integrity, and he wanted the people he was leading to stay in the truth. His heart was genuine, and his message was genuine. He wanted the people to be real, authentic, and genuine in their walk with Christ, and he didn't want them to be led away into something else. He said, I'm afraid for you, because just like Eve was tricked by the devil in the garden, I don't want your mind to be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And can I tell you that we as human beings are really good at making simple things complicated? Friends, the gospel's simple today. And there might be somebody in the room or watching online who's not saved. You've never been born again. I want you to understand something. The gospel's not complicated. Human beings have turned this into a religion that's all about a whole bunch of do's and don'ts and a list of what to do right and what to not do, so that maybe one day you can get into heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're all sinners, that we've all broken God's law, and we're all condemned in our sin and unbelief. The wages, the penalty of sin is death, but that God loved us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The gospel message is this: we're all sinners, but God became a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life and gave his life as a sacrificial substitute on the cross so that we could be forgiven and given eternal life. That's the simplicity of the gospel. And we who come to God must come with childlike faith, simply believing that Jesus is who he said he was, and he did what he said he came to do, and that as he is from God the Father, and that he came to save sinners from their sins by believing in him. All right? Isn't that exciting? You guys sure look excited. You look like it's steamy in here, like it's kind of warm and kind of comfy, and you look like you want to take a nap. But I'm trying to tell you that the simplicity of the gospel is that of no righteousness of your own, no merit of your own, no good thing that you have ever done, God still loved you even though you're a sinner, and he's given you life by simply trusting in Christ alone. Amen. Isn't that great news? Because if it was up to you, you couldn't be good enough to earn your way. And if it was up to you, you couldn't, even if you could get it, there's no way you could keep it. And your salvation depends entirely on Christ to give it to you and to keep you. And isn't that exactly what he said? Amen. Whoever comes to him, he'll never cast out. Amen. Whoever comes to him, he holds you in his hand, and no man can take you out. The Father holds you in his hand, and no man can take you out. Your salvation is in Christ alone. It's simply in him. And Paul preached with integrity. He taught with integrity. He lived with integrity. He talks about how they were among them. He talks about how they lived and their lives were manifest among them. Skip ahead, we'll come back, but verse 6 says, "But though I be rude in speech and yet in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things." Paul said not only was our message with integrity, it was the truth, but our life was with integrity. They lived what they preached. There's a novel idea for the American Christian today. Practice what you preach. Live what you believe. You say you've been saved by Jesus, live like you're saved. You name the name of Christ and live like a Christian, that because you've been born again, the Spirit of God lives in you, that he actually transforms your life from the inside out. And it's not polishing and cleaning up the outside of the cup. It's that you've been changed from the inside. It's that you've been born again by the Spirit of God. It's that you are a new creature in Christ today and that you're living like you've been made new. There was an integrity in his message and in his life. That message, he says it here in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted," you guys might well go along with them, but I'm here to tell you, we preach to you the true Jesus. We came in the right spirit, in the Spirit of God, and we have given you the message of God. There was integrity in his message. There was integrity in the messenger. And then look at his ministry. The ministry of the apostle. He says in verse 7, "Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service." This word service is ministry. He did the work of the ministry, and he did that ministry. He served them because he loved them, not because of what he was going to get out of it. It was for them. And that's the way all true ministry has to be. So just stay with me for a second. One of the accusations these false apostles would make against Paul is because he wasn't really much to look at. He didn't have a lot of money or wealth. He didn't have a great presentation. In other words, he probably wouldn't have been a real popular TV preacher today. He wasn't a great speaker. It wasn't about his ability to communicate that made him so effective. And he actually gloried in that. The fact that it wasn't about him. He's like, "Listen, I may be rude in speech. I'm not the greatest speaker there ever was, but I know the truth." Isn't that good? Amen. You know, a lot of people today and back then will follow somebody if they look good and sound good, even if what they're saying isn't true. And Paul said, "Listen, these guys are attacking me." One of the things they would say is, "Look at him. Look at his clothes. He doesn't have nice clothes. Listen to him talk. I mean, he sounds like a hick, like he doesn't know anything." And so they would attack him, because here's what happened. In that Greek culture that was prevalent there in Achaia, these men would come in, and they were all paid for speaking. And so they would come in, and the more you made by your speaking, the more knowledge you had, the better you could speak, the better show you could put on, the more you made. So the guys that were supposed to be the experts, they made the most. And so that's what the people in Corinth were saying. "Well, look at him. He didn't have much. Look at him. Nobody's even given him any money. He must not be very good. He must not know what he's talking about, because he doesn't have any money. Nobody's given him money." And he said, "I didn't take anything from you, because I didn't want you to say that I only gave you the message for money. So I robbed," or the word really for robbed there is pillaged. "I pillaged other churches. I took from the churches of Macedonia so that you wouldn't accuse me of just being in it for the money." Now, is it wrong to pay the preacher? Well, he tells us in other places that you should. You should provide for him. You don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. But he was dealing with the people in Corinth who were accusing him of not being truly from God because he didn't take any money from them. And he said, Have I done you wrong? Have I done you wrong? Have I committed an offense, verse 7, in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I preach the gospel of God to you freely? No. I took wages from the other churches so that I could serve you, so that I could minister to you. So there was his humility, his jealousy, his integrity, his ministry, and then his glory. Verse 10. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. This word boasting or rejoicing is sometimes translated glorying. And Paul rejoiced for Christians who acted like Christians. He rejoiced in his sons and daughters in the faith who really lived out what they said they believed. It reminded me of what John says in 3 John, verse 4. John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now, we usually take that and we're like, your physical children, your biological children. And while that's true, what a joy to see your kids following Jesus. I mean, that's our heart's desire, to see our kids know the Lord and walk with the Lord and continue with the Lord. But here, John, I believe, is speaking spiritually, his spiritual children. John says, there's no greater joy that I have than to see people that I have led to Christ, that I have tried to lead in their walk with Christ, that they are walking in the truth. And that's what Paul's saying. I glory, and you're not going to keep me from glorying in these churches who are walking in the truth. His glory was bound up in Christ and those who would walk with Christ. And then look at his security. Look at his security. Verse 12 says, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Here's what Paul's saying. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to tell the truth, because I want those who are trying to lead you away from the truth of the gospel to be cut off, that they have no opportunity to lead you astray. Paul was trying to protect those he was leading. And God has called the apostles and pastors. Pastor is another word for shepherd. He has called the shepherds, the pastors and teachers, to protect, to provide security spiritually for those that they lead. John chapter 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11. I am, Jesus says, the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and have not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. Those who are truly of God are going to care about the security of the people of God. Jesus was the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And he has called leaders like the apostles in their day to shepherd his people and to provide security. And we look at these six characteristics: humility, jealousy or zealousness, integrity, ministry, glory, his rejoicing, and his security, how he protected them. And it really boils down to three things. A true teacher of God's word is going to have humility. He's going to be humble before God. He's going to realize that it's not him. It's all about Jesus. He's going to have integrity. He's going to teach and preach the truth, and he's going to walk in that truth. He's going to be genuine. He's going to be real. And he's going to have love. You see, all of the things that you look at, the jealousy, the zeal that he had, his ministry serving them, his rejoicing in them, his protecting them, all that's wrapped up in one word, and it's love. It's to love. If you love somebody, you're going to look out for them. If you love somebody, you're going to be genuine with them. If you love someone, you're going to serve them. If you love someone, you're going to rejoice when they're walking in the right way. Paul displayed all of those things: humility, integrity, and love in everything that he did. Now, very quickly, let me walk through with you the ministers of Satan. Here's four truths about false apostles. Verse 12. Real quick, because I kind of missed verse 11. Catch that real quick. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. When all of the arguing and debating about whether Paul loved the Corinthians or not was said and done, when he said all that he could say, he came down to this: People say I don't love you, but God knows that I do. God knows. That's the ultimate authority that it appeals to. All right, verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, wherein they glory, they may be found even as we are. Can I say this? False teachers, ministers of Satan, the false apostles, are first harmful. They desired occasion. They wanted to get their foot in the door. They wanted to have their platform to run down the Apostle Paul and to teach their false doctrine. Why? They were intending to be harmful to God's people. Following the truth leads you to Christ. Walking in the truth is Christ. He is truth. And anything that is not of faith in Christ and anything that's not of the truth of Christ is going to be harmful for you. And listen, when one person starts going the wrong direction, other people are going to go the wrong direction. And pretty soon you got a whole church that's going in the wrong direction, away from Christ, away from the gospel, away from the truth. And it's harmful to you and to those who come after you. I got this problem. Nothing's a big deal. Sometimes my wife and I have a problem. Because to her, some things are a big deal. And I usually say, very lovingly and with great understanding, it's not a big deal. Anybody else have that happen at your house? Anybody? I'm not alone, am I? Okay, I don't like being alone. And so we have this conversation sometimes where she's really worried about something, and I'm like, it's not a big deal. And she'll say something very lovingly and kind to the effect of, you don't think anything is a big deal. Can I say this? False teachers, it's a big deal. False apostles, it's a big deal. Paul's going to call them ministers of Satan. If you have somebody teaching and impacting your life who is a minister of Satan, a false apostle, that's a big deal. And they're going to be harmful in your life. We ought to be careful in the church what's taught here and what's preached here. But can I say this? You ought to be careful in your own life who's teaching you, who's discipling you. Because I'm going to say, let's just check it real quick. How many of you, like at least one time in the week, watch like a video on YouTube? Just raise your hand. I know it's really hard, but just try. Okay, all right. Most of you are consuming something from someone. A lot of you guys like to watch guys on TV preach, and you listen to guys on the radio preach, and you watch videos online. And I think it's wonderful how available biblical teaching and preaching is today. I do. I really do. I think it's wonderful that I can get on a podcast. I can watch a video on YouTube. I can listen to radio stations from around the world on my phone. And it's so available, but it's also dangerous. You need to be careful who's teaching you. You need to be careful about the message they're giving because it's serious and it can be harmful. It is a big deal who is teaching you. And these people were desiring occasion. That means they were looking for an in so that they could have a platform to teach false teaching. Acts chapter 20 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul says, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." Paul warns the leaders at Ephesus, the pastors there, he says, listen, there are going to be guys that are grow up right there with you. They're going to come from among you, and they're going to be seeking to make disciples to follow them. Listen, I don't want you to follow me unless I'm following Christ. I want to be like the apostle. Follow me as I follow Christ. And the ultimate goal is not that you'd follow me, but that you'd follow Jesus. And Paul's ultimate goal was not, hey, look at me, follow me. It was follow Christ. And that's got to be the desire, not somebody who wants a follower for themselves, but someone who wants a follower of Christ. So they were harmful. Number two, it leads right into it, is they were prideful. They were prideful. Verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness. Where the true teacher of God's word, the true apostle, had humility, These people are prideful. They glory not in Christ, but in themselves. They glory not in the gospel, but in themselves. They are trying to get people to look at them. And that's what they do. They boast of themselves. They talk about how wonderful they are and how great they are. And Paul said that kind of stuff is nonsense. That kind of stuff is foolishness. And he hated that he had to defend himself in that way because of those false teachers. Pride and a haughty spirit bring destruction. Now, everybody in the room, I think, has probably heard the verse that the love of money is the root of all evil, right? What that verse means is the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. That it leads to all types of evil. But if you'll study your Bible carefully, I think you'll find that who was it that tempted Eve in the garden? Satan. Good job, class. Satan, that old serpent, deceived her. So he brought the temptation into the garden where there was no sin, where there was no temptation, where there was no lust of the flesh. Satan brought that in there. And if you back up and you study about where Satan started, where was his sin rooted? It was in pride. So I'm not trying to contradict Scripture here. I know that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. But if we trace it back, I think you'll find this to be true in the Bible and in your own life. Pride is at the heart of our sin. Because what we're saying is, I don't care what God says. What we're saying is, I know better than God. What we're saying is, I don't care what the Bible says, I know better than the Bible. What we're saying is, I'm going to go against all the things that God says are true because I'm better and I'm bigger and I'm greater. Satan said that he wanted to be lifted up above the throne of God. He had pride. And he brought that pride down into the world, and mankind has gleefully embraced that pride. You and I, if we have any desire at all to walk with Jesus, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to humble ourselves that he will lift us up. These men were prideful. They were harmful, and last, they were deceitful. Verse 13, he said they're false apostles. They're deceitful workers. And even though they're ministers of Satan, they transform themselves into the apostles of Christ and ministers of righteousness. What they really are is wolves, but they put on sheep's clothing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, we read this several weeks ago. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ." These false teachers corrupt the word of God. They don't have integrity. They have deceitfulness. And he goes on in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2, and he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." There were those who were walking in dishonesty and craftiness, and they were those false teachers. Look with me real quick to Matthew 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, 15. The Lord Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets." Can you stop for just a second? Do you guys know what the word beware means? Every time I read that word in the Bible, I think about it. When we go door to door on doing outreach evangelistically, we go door to door to preach the gospel. Every once in a while, you walk up to a house, and on the gate, it has a sign that says, "Beware of dog." Now, anybody with any sense is going to pay attention to that sign. So what you learn the hard way is that dogs aren't all stupid. Most of them are, but they're not all. And some of them, when a stranger comes, they don't just come running and barking at the gate. They hide under the porch until you get inside the gate. So you learn the soul winner's gate rattle. It's a soul winning 101. Never look in the window. Never look in the window. You're liable to see things you can't unsee. I'm trying to help you today. That's rule number one. But one of the other rules is rattle the gate. Why? Because there may be danger there. Rattle the gate. That gets Fido to come out and let you know he's there before he sneaks up at you from under the porch. Okay? Beware. When we see beware, we usually pay attention. Anytime you go into an electric panel, there's usually a warning there. Right? And if you've ever been shocked before, you pay attention to that. Right? If you got any sense at all, you don't just go sticking your hands anywhere inside an electrical box. Some of us don't have any sense, and you do it anyway. There's a warning. And the Lord says, beware. So when the Lord Jesus Christ, or anywhere in his word, says beware, you ought to pay attention to what it's saying. What does it mean? It means it's dangerous. It means it's harmful. So look, the Lord says beware of what? False prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. The Lord Jesus is warning us about false prophets, false teachers, and he said, just wait and see, because you're going to see what comes out of it. And what is the fruit of a good teacher, of a true prophet of God, of a true apostle? Well, they're going to produce fruit that is of the Spirit. It's going to be love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and temperance. The things that the fruit of that the Spirit of God brings forth. And listen, if they are truly a disciple of Jesus, then their fruit will be other disciples of Jesus. The false prophet, he may put on a show, but there's not going to be any genuine love. It's going to be greed. There's not going to be humility. It's going to be pride. There's not going to be any peace found in their message, because they have no peace. They can't give peace. They don't have any. You have peace with God. They aren't going to help you get peace with God. The fruit that they're going to bring is going to be corrupt fruit. And in the end, they'll be hewn down and cast into the fire, which is exactly what the apostle says here at the end of verse 15, whose end shall be according to their works. They may put on a good show, but they don't have the truth. They don't have integrity. They don't have humility. And most importantly, they don't have love. They don't have the love of Christ in their heart. And they don't have the love of Christ for others, because they don't even know what love is. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Guys, you don't get fruit from briars and thorns. There is no fruit there, and they are rejected. They're near the cursing, the just and righteous cursing of God. And in the end, they'll be burned, because they never knew God and God never knew them. But look at verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. My heart's desire for you is that you would know Christ, and that you would have the things that go along with knowing Christ. And that's exactly what Paul's dealing with. I don't want you to be led astray, because I want you to know Jesus. And I want your life to be filled with the things that accompany, that go along with knowing Jesus. This morning, it might be somebody who doesn't know Jesus. You can know him by faith. That's the only way you can know him. You must turn away from your sin and unbelief. You must trust in the finished work of Jesus in all your heart. If you've got questions about that, we're here to help you to know him today. If you know him, then you want to have the things in your life that accompany salvation. You want to not just believe, but you want to continue in his word. You want to abide in the word of Christ. And so we want to encourage you to follow him, to walk with him. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning if you're able. And we're going to have our musicians come. We're going to sing a song of response, a song of invitation this morning. And what we mean by that is simply this. This is an opportunity right now for you to worship the Lord, singing together one more time this morning. And then it's an opportunity for you to respond. If God's convicting your heart, a decision that you need to make for Christ to be saved, to trust him, to be baptized, to identify with him, to put off the old man, put on the new man, whatever it is, if he's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.
Page 523.